this Leading with Excellence podcast featuring the superintendent of the East Gibson School Corporation, Dr. Michael Galvin. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, executive director of the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents. This Leading with Excellence podcast allows listeners to get to know the incredible individuals who are leading Indiana's traditional public schools with excellence. It reminds us that our leaders are also our neighbors, friends, mentors, and lifelong learners. These authentic conversations help bridge the gap between the office of the superintendent and the amazing people in that seat. You know, superintendents are often seen as administrators who make big decisions about budgets, policies, or facilities. And although that is all true, this podcast shifts that perspective by hearing superintendents speak in their own voices about their community, school district, and personal stories. We'll discover the superintendent as a listener, learner, and servant leader. Someone whose leadership centers on vision, relationships, and a genuine care for people. Let's dive right in and learn more about our guest, Dr. Michael Galvin. Welcome, Michael.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Tell us a little bit about, for those who don't know, where is East Gibson School Corporation, and talk to us about your community.
Sure. East Gibson School Corporation is located in Oakland City, Indiana. We're about 15, 20 minutes north of Evansville. Okay. It's a community that's been around for quite a few years. Oakland City University is kind of one main parts of the community. In East Gibson, really, it's kind of, Oakland City is the main hub, the main community, but mainly rural community, a lot of farmers and things. Just a really strong, knit community, very supportive of the school corporation, and a long heritage of people that have come through the school corporation has really achieved, big dreams throughout the years and stuff. And so when you start talking to people about that heritage, it just is that they're very proud of it. Mm-hmm. And, it just kind of infiltrates the entire community.
What brought you to East Gibson?
Well, it was really kind of interesting, Jeff, because I had stepped away from the superintendent position for about 8 or 9 months. Went to Junior Achievement in Southwestern Indiana, and one of the board members had been a previous teacher of mine, and so we reconnected. We always talk to each other; we're good friends, and we said, I started talking to her about the position. They were having some real struggles as a corporation.
Sure.
Enrollment was dropping. They had just closed their school in Francisco. And they needed, in my opinion, they needed someone who had some experience and could step in and try to get them going. And so I put my hat in, God opened that door to me, and we really enjoyed seeing what we could do. And it's one of those situations. I'd been at MSD of North Posey, and I kind of seen what a school being closed, what impact it had on New Harmony. And, it's one of those situations of where East Gibson has to survive in order for Oakland City to survive.
Sure, sure.
And I think that's something, as we were talking at the state level about consolidation, that's what I really think that our state legislators are missing is that when you start consolidating these schools, and when you look at Indiana as a whole, we're mainly rural communities.
Yes.
And you really start taking away that, that meaning of that community, and that community begins to dry up. So
I had done some statistical research, and Chris Ligoni was very helpful in this. I want to say just over a third of our students are rural, and over half of our districts are rural when they classify themselves. And so that is a huge portion of the school districts of the state of Indiana, the 290 traditional public schools that we have. You have a university in your town. It's not a Big Ten university, but it certainly has an impact on what you do. And that changes the dynamic a little bit about how the K-12 space operates with that higher ed space. Talk about your relationship with the university.
Yeah, we've had a really good relationship, and Dr. Dempsey and I have built a relationship. We meet every so often for lunch, and we've understood that both the university as well as school corporation needs to survive for the sake of that community. Mm-hmm. We partner with them. They come down. They use our weight room. They use our football, soccer field. They use our track. In addition to that, they come down. They do community service activities at the school. Our kids will go up and watch basketball games and participate in activities there. So it's been a really good partnership. You know, we've also had their students come down and work in our school, you know, doing their education pathways and stuff. And so it's been definitely something that has benefited both of us to really offer real world experiences both to our kids as well as their kids.
And that's powerful for your students to be able to see college students actually in your classrooms and on your campuses to know that they can aspire to be that as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we're constantly looking for how can we make that partnership even stronger? Because we want kids to have that that aspiration. You know, can I move on to college? Can I you know, and not even really get a 4-year degree, but can I get a 2-year degree or something? So yeah.
What do you like most about being a superintendent?
You know, it's East Gibson is kind of interesting because I've served in 3 different districts, and the central office at East Gibson is right there in the high school. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've always said that as a superintendent, I've wanted to keep my finger on the pulse of the kids.
Yes.
And so I enjoy being out in the hallways. You know, kids will stop and talk to me. We joke. You know, I'm able to go to prom with them. I'm able to go to the baseball and basketball activities and stuff. You know, I think that that's really what it means to be a superintendent because when you're at that central office level, you're kind of removed. You're dealing with the budget. You're dealing with buildings and personnel. And you really lose track of why are we here? And constantly asking yourself that question. And I think seeing those kids each and every day really brings you back home to why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah. As you've gotten to know students and as they have gotten to know you, you mentioned all the activities you have an opportunity to participate in and certainly being right there with the students during the school day. What would you hope that your students would say about you as a superintendent?
You know, I think, number one, I think just a man of integrity, you know, someone who does what he says he's going to do. You know, I feel like I want to be a servant leader, you know, and using the example of Christ in that situation, you know, that's, in my opinion, I've seen so many places where God's closed doors and then he opens doors.
Yeah.
And I know that he constantly has my life and my plan laid out for me. And so I hope that they see that because, you know, when you look at the kids that we're dealing with today, there's so many challenges that they face in life. You know, we have over 50% free and reduced lunch, and they're coming from broken homes and trauma. And, you know, some of the things we've implemented at East Gibson is because the home situations that they're coming from. And I feel like, and I often say this to my teachers and my administrators, is we're that example to them, and we have to live our lives as that example, really. Yeah. So
all of that brings great deal of pressure because those students are in your head all the time when you're thinking about the decisions that you're making, whether it be related to curriculum, to facilities, to any one of the supports that we provide to students. What do you do to balance your life? And I know that's not an equal balance, but when you're trying to just get away and recharge your own mental health, what does that look like for you?
You know, it's my wife would say, and she's an educator as well. We've been married for 32 years, getting ready to 32 years. And she says, I've learned that through the years, you know, especially in the superintendent position. She goes, you know, you've moved to this point of where you've balanced it much better. You know, I think the biggest thing is just taking time for yourself. You know, I've taken up beekeeping, which is kind of an unusual.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. We raise animals as well. We have sheep, we have a heifer. And so, you know, just in the mornings I go out and I feed, it's a beautiful sunrise. You know, and just separating yourself, having that time, as well as taking time for you and your wife. You know, I think when I first stepped into the superintendent role, we sat down as a family. I've got 4 kids. And we, because I knew it was a family decision.
Yeah.
It wasn't my decision. It was a family decision. And I think the kids have definitely seen it through the years. They've understood it better as they've grown up. And they themselves have made comments to my wife that, hey, Dad's balancing his life much better.
Yeah.
And once again, I think coming back to that having that foundation in your life, whatever it might be, is really what keeps you grounded. So.
Michael, I don't want to glance over this because I think you've mentioned something that I haven't heard a whole lot on our previous podcast. but it's that family dynamic, because it really does impact not just you as the person who's in that role, but your wife and your children and the experiences that they're going to have, not only in the school district, but also in the community and at church and all of the things. And so what is that conversation? What did that conversation look like with you as you were trying to balance out, is this the right thing, not only for me, but also for my family?
Yeah. You know, it was kind of a weird situation. We had both grown up in Southern Indiana. My first superintendent position was at Monticello in Twin Lakes. And so it was a 4-hour move away from home for us and everything that we knew. And there was, you know, the kids struggled with it. My oldest son at that point in time, he was kind of a basketball star. You know, my daughter, she was hitting that teenage years. My third child, he's my third and second son. You know, he was kind of getting into that elementary, and then we had a younger kid. And so he was probably about 4 or 5 about that time. So, you know, it really was a difficult situation. It really brought us together as a family. And then as well of just, you know, as we've talked a little bit, that tenure of a superintendent of 3 to 3.5 years, you know, if I would have known that, I don't know if I would have gone down that road because of my family.
Sure.
Because we've moved around. Fortunately, God took us back home. We went right back to Southern Indiana, which was a blessing, and being back with family and things. Yeah. But that was hard. And like I said, I think, especially being at Twin Lakes, the family really came together. You know, the kids, my oldest was in high school at that point in time. There were some decisions I had to make that people were talking to him about. And I just told him, I said, you know, at the end of the day, I have to make what's in the decisions that are in best interest of the kids. And I also have to look myself in the mirror.
Yeah.
And if that means that I have to move on, then I move on. But I have to have that integrity and do what's right in my heart.
Yeah.
So.
And a lot of people don't get that sometimes when they think about the superintendent, and especially when you're new to a community, as you were at Twin Lakes. And when you come in, you want people to know where your heart is. You want people to know really what you stand for, right? Where your moral compass is. And so one of the things we sometimes do when we start a meeting is we start off with the phrase, if you knew me well, you would know. If you could have gone back to Twin Lakes, you could, any situation, let's just take any situation, and you were to walk in and you start off a meeting telling people, if you knew me well, you would know. How would you finish that phrase?
Oh, I think, as I've said all along, I think if you knew me well, the decisions I make will be based around what's in the best interest of our kids. You know, I think that that's really what I've tried to do the most is put myself in the classroom and say, the decision I make at central office, what impact is it going to have on that teacher or that student in that classroom?
Yeah. So, yeah. Michael, if you wouldn't have been a superintendent, did you have another pathway that you had considered maybe as a young high schooler or early on in college?
You know, I always laugh, Jeff, because, you know, when you go to the Chinese restaurants, they always have your, you know, horoscope there or whatever. The other one it said that I could do is become a secret agent. So, you know, I kind of thought, hey, because I really like James Bond. So, yeah, I thought that would be fun to, you know, become a secret agent. So.
And maybe you do a little bit of that already in your role as superintendent sometimes.
Yeah. Especially as a principal, you were constantly investigating stuff.
Right.
And so, yeah. So, but.
I know our time's getting short, and this podcast is called the Leading with Excellence podcast. And so when you think about that, especially in the context of public education, what does leading with excellence mean to you?
You know, I'm going to go back to something one of my professors said at University of Southern Indiana way back when. Dr. Adel Cottarelli he taught our developmental reading class. And when we were talking about reading, he always said, find out where the kid is and start there. And I think that's one of the situations I've tried to do as a leader for whether it was principal, superintendent, or even just a teacher leader is that find out where the corporation is and leave that corporation in better shape that you found it, you know? And that's what I've wanted to do. And that's what I'm trying to do even now with East Gibson is that, you know, they've struggled. We want to turn that around. We want them to be successful. We want them to be successful for the kids in that corporation. And I want to make this an attractive school corporation for a superintendent to come to step into this role and go, okay, mm-hmm. I feel comfortable. This is a good, solid corporation that we can move forward with it. So I think that's the biggest thing is when you're leading with excellence is you're wanting to leave it in better shape. And I think the other thing too is that it's not about me. Mm-hmm. I want the accolades need to go to my principals and my teachers. Mm-hmm. It's not me. You know, I work with great people, and they're passionate about what they do. And, you know, they make me look good, but it's not because of the things I do. It's because of the great work that they do in our classrooms and our schools each and every day. Mm. So
very sound wisdom. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been the superintendent of the East Gibson School Corporation, Dr. Michael Galvin. Michael's story reinforces that excellence is a journey, not a title. We hope today's conversation helped you to see the heart behind the role of the superintendent. Today's conversation reminds us that leadership is not only about decisions, it's about people, passion, and purpose. This has been another episode of the Leading with Excellence podcast from the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents.